Mark chapter 15. And straightway in the morning the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away, and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered and said unto him, Thou sayest it. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. And as it is written of him in Isaiah chapter 53, it says, As a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. This doesn't mean he absolutely didn't say a word, but he did not open his mouth in defending himself against the false accusations. He did not attempt to defend himself against what they were coming at him with. He opened his mouth to speak the truth. Are you the Christ? I am. You say it. I guess it comes off to me as, Are you the Messiah? You said it. That's what you said. You said the truth. I think that's what the figure of speech means. It means you're speaking the truth now. You said it. He opened his mouth to acknowledge the truth. And Pilate, seeing this, he marvels, rightfully, because most men, when confronted with any kind of accusation, are going to have something to say about it. A good judge can probably smell out the situation he's in. And here we have these important figures in the Jewish community coming and accusing Jesus of all these things, all come together against this one guy. And then this guy has nothing to say. And he says, Are you the king of the Jews? And he says, Yeah, that's what I am. And they accuse him of many things, but he wouldn't say anything about that. The only thing he will admit to is being the king of the Jews. The only thing he will admit to is that he is the Christ. And he marveled at him. Verse 6. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people, that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said unto them, What will ye that I shall do unto him whom ye call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. So at the feast of the Passover, in a gesture of goodwill, the Roman governor had this custom of releasing one prisoner, whoever they would ask, whoever they most wanted him to release, he would release them at this festival. Remember, it's the celebration of the Passover. That's the time when the death angel passed over the people of Israel and slew the firstborn of Pharaoh's house, so that Pharaoh would let God's people go and serve him in the wilderness. So the freeing of a prisoner would be of a significant gesture. And in this case, there happens to be in prison at this time a man who had made insurrection, had started an uprising, a rebellion, the exact things that they were afraid Jesus would cause. The Romans are going to come and take away our place because of the things that Jesus is going to do. And therefore, we have cause to fear him. The Romans are going to come and take away our place. All the people are going to follow after him. Ultimately, what led to this destruction of Jerusalem was an insurrection. The Jews had an insurrection, and the Romans came and destroyed their city. It's a very ironic sort of moment there. And in the course of the insurrection, Barabbas had committed murder. Now, Jesus Christ was no murderer. And not being previously accused of any wrongdoing, and even now, the question of him being a criminal being highly suspicious, Pilate immediately assumes, would you like that I release the king of the Jews? They want their, because the crowd is asking him, like you always have, give us a prisoner. It's the Passover. Well, how about Jesus? And they figure this is a popular figure. Why would they want some failed revolutionary? His mind didn't even want to think for a second that that murderer would be the one that they would choose, because obviously the one that Pilate would like to release would be Jesus. Not that he wants to release anybody, particularly, but just that if he has to choose, who would you choose? I mean, just being a cynical unbeliever, you choose the one who's the guy who goes around and duping people with his, you know, a medicine show or whatever it is that you think that Jesus is really about. If you're a skeptic, you know, you think, but this guy, he's a murderer. Pilate has his choice. He throws his vote in, and he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. You know, I think he's popular with the people. I'll offer him to the people, and they'll take him, and they can release him that way. And he doesn't have to answer, he can just go home. But the chief priests had moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. So there was a bit of a setup going on with the chief priests, with the people. Many of these same people were probably crying Hosanna when Christ came in to the city days before. People can turn on their heroes so quickly. It's so common to human nature that the darling of the day is not long lived. People love celebrity gossip and smears because they love to see the exalted be brought low. They love to see people who seem to have a wonderful life. They want to hear all the negative, dirty aspects of their life. They want to see them brought down to their level and to be human like they are. You know, it excites them and they say, the celebrity who lives the idyllic life, they have trouble too. In fact, their troubles are horrible. They're even worse off than I am. That makes me feel better about myself. I guess my miserable little life isn't so miserable and little after all. And they feel exalted in the abasement of the mighty, of those who seem to be mighty, in whatever sense, in the sense of popularity, in the sense of prestige or wealth, they love to see him brought down. That's what the common people love. You walk to the checkout line of the grocery store, and what do you see in the magazine aisles? All kinds of celebrity gossip about who's having, and it's always trouble. I never see so-and-so signs multi-million-dollar movie contract as the headline. It's always something about, like, their baby, their divorce, their this, their that. You know, I mean, it's just always some horrible story about someone's tragedy. And people gobble it up. They love it. So it's not hard to imagine how quickly they could be incited to go against Christ. He'd been healing. He'd been teaching. They heard him gladly. Remember, he was teaching in the temple, and the common people heard him gladly. Oh, this is fun. You know why it was fun? Because he was really showing up, the chief priests, and they loved that. They loved seeing the chief priests showed up. But now Christ is in trouble, and they want to see what's going to happen. Let's not release him. If he's the Messiah,